Turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We've been talking about how to have a Book of Acts church. And this, I'm sensing, is going to be the last part in this series. However, if you remember, this past Wednesday, the Lord directed for a companion series to begin being taught. And it's about church government. What we see in the Bible pertaining to church government, not what denominations or man has thought of or come up with. But we're going back and taking a look at how things have been structured in the Bible. And we're going to be examining different positions within the church and so forth. And that is a companion series. And those of you who are listening to this Book of Acts church series, if you'd like to have that companion series, just write to the address on the tape label or on the album. And we can get information to you about that. But it's a companion series. I thought at first God was going to make it a part of this, but He's directed for it to be like a piggyback or something like that. So anyway, I think this is possibly going to be the last part, part six, in this particular series. But nevertheless, just a very brief review. One thing that just keeps coming back up on the inside of me that obviously there's a reason it needs to be repeated, even though it may sound like, you know, a broken record, and that is this. Excuse me. In essence, the Book of Acts is a history book. The history of the starting of the church and the expansion and so forth of the church. Now, there's a lot more in there. There's teaching, there's doctrine in the Book of Acts. But the Book of Acts is a time period within which almost all of the rest of the books of the New Testament were written. For another way to put that, from Romans all the way to Jude, almost all of those books within that, in between that, Romans to Jude, almost all of those books were written during the time that the Book of Acts took place. And so we can look at the Book of Acts and get some generalities, but then we can go back to all of those books and get some specifics about some things that were happening within those churches that were established and so forth. And again, this is very important for us to remember, because I know that as a kid growing up, nobody explained that to me. And so I just saw the Book of Acts and I just made this assumption that, well, when the Book of Acts ends, that's when the Book of Romans starts. And I just didn't know that all of these things taking place in Romans and in Galatians and so forth, that was taking place during the time that's described in the Book of Acts. And the reason that's important is because, or one of the reasons it's important to remember that, is because it tells us that if we want to get more detail about what was happening, we need to go back and read those books. For example, when it talks about in the Book of Acts, the doctrine of the apostles, if we want to know what that doctrine was, then we start reading in Romans. And then we go to Galatians and the Corinthian books and so forth. That is the doctrine that the apostles were giving to the people at that particular time. And from that standpoint, as we go through here and begin to look at this, we see how that the people were challenged on more than one occasion about their beliefs. And it wasn't so much the Gentiles. I mean, they worshiped the pagan gods and so forth, but the challenge was really more so for the Jews, because they were confronted by fellow Jews who were teaching them this. They were confronted with the concept that things we had believed and lived by and exalted and accepted and so forth, you know, all of this, or so much of it, almost all of it, now we're being told it doesn't apply to us, that it was only pointing us to what we now have. And so some of them struggled with that. And it was a real challenge for them to change their belief system and not keep looking back to what they used to do, but instead look at what they now had and where God was taking them from that point, the changes that He wanted to make in their lives. Well, when you go through the Book of Acts, the one thing that you'll find out is that when it came to church growth, the people there relied on the presence and the power of God. They did not turn to programs. They did not turn to entertainment, which sadly is what a lot you see nowadays, isn't it? And again, please don't misunderstand. It's not wrong to have the names come in and minister and sing and so forth. That's not wrong. But your motivation for having them, the reason you bring people in for, you know, those people in, the reason for that, that can be wrong. If it's bringing them in for the ministry and that God can do through them, then fine. But if it's just to try and build your church on those things, then it's wrong. Yeah, your church can grow through those things. But a Book of Acts church exists to glorify Jesus. And this is extremely important. A Book of Acts church exists to glorify Jesus. And that's really the ultimate reason. There are a lot of other things that happen within that. But a Book of Acts church exists to glorify Jesus. And glorifying Jesus is going to result in church growth. Now, it may not result in the fastest church growth, and it may not result in the kind of church growth that a lot of pastors would hope for, because a lot of pastors, well, if you ever pastor a church, if you ever end up pastoring, you want your church, you know, to grow like this. I mean, that's just the way it is. However, a church that is built on programs, you're just going to have a program. A church that is built, and don't misunderstand this, because a lot of this is on the previous tape, a church that is built on the concept of Sunday school is wrong. I mean, anybody can have that. A church that's built on the concept of a vacation Bible school or on visitation and so forth. Those things are not wrong, but those aren't the way you grow your church the way God wants the church grown. A Book of Acts, a true, genuine New Testament church exists to glorify Jesus, to be in His presence. When that happens, you can have church growth, and you will have church growth. It might not be the fastest, but it's going to be the kind that is genuine, that is strong, that is built on the right foundation, the kind of a church where God can move and do the things that He wants to do. And so as we begin to glorify Jesus, we then become pleasing unto the Father. Because remember, Jesus Himself even said that the Holy Spirit would glorify Him. And so therefore, as we begin to make our focus, our being in the presence of Jesus, worshiping Him and glorifying Him, what we're actually doing is locking arms with the Holy Spirit and doing the same thing that He has come to do, glorify Jesus. See? Now, in Acts chapter 3, I want you to take a look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He got charismatic. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We'll stop right there. Now, this is an amazing story, and how many of you have heard something preached about this passage at some point in time in your life? And if you yourself are a preacher, I'm sure you possibly have preached about this passage at some point in time. It makes for a great sermon. You can preach all kinds of things out of this. But in this passage, what we read here, in reality, as much as we preach it and as much as we can make it sound good, especially some of those high-powered preachers, I mean, they can have you shouting and running the aisles by preaching out of this passage. However, within these 16 verses, we have an indictment on the spirit-filled sector of the body of Christ. So what do you mean by that? We want a Book of Acts church, right? We want a New Testament church, don't we? Sure we do. But how easily do churches accept the kind of ministry that we see demonstrated here? I don't mean the healing and the manifestation of the healing. I mean the method by which this healing was administered. The preacher stands up at the prayer line. Ma'am, what do you want? Well, I've been having some female problems. Sir, what do you want? Well, you know, I've had this leg injury. Ma'am, what do you want? I've been having these terrible migraine headaches. Sir, what do you want? Well, the doctor said I have liver cancer. And on down the line it goes. Then all of a sudden, the preacher says, such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, be healed of whatever it would be. Do you realize there aren't too many churches who would accept anyone coming in and ministering like that and saying such a thing? Who does he think he is? God? Who does he think he is? Such as I have. Well, what does he have? But that's what Peter did, isn't it? And yet there is a tremendous resistance in those who proclaim to be full gospel, spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever name you like. There's a tremendous amount of resistance when it comes to anybody ministering like this. But this is what we see in the book of Acts, is it not? And so Peter comes in and he ministers to this fellow. And I want you to see something. It's not just a matter of this man's legs and ankles. Well, look here in there. In verse 7, it says, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, it wasn't just a matter that his feet and ankle bones received strength. Look back in verse 2. It says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. That means this man had never walked in his entire life. Now, what do you think it would be like to never walk your entire life and then instantly your legs, your ankles, everything about below the waist is completely healed? Now you can stand up and do those things. You've never done them before. How's your sense of balance? It wasn't just a matter that his legs and feet and ankles and all received strength. It was a matter that this man also received a miracle in the area of his balance. He was not only able to walk, he was able to run and jump and leap and all of those things that people try to stop you from doing in churches today. Was he happy? I guarantee you the man was happy. He wasn't the only one who was happy. Look again in verse 2. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Every day, somebody is carrying this man to the temple to beg alms. It says they. So I'm guessing there were at least two people that carried this guy daily to the temple. You know what that means? Not only was Mr. Heald happy, there are at least two other people that are really happy. Thank God. We don't have to carry him here anymore. It was a miracle that took place. And the way that it happened is Book of Acts. Obviously, it's in there. But the way that churches that profess healing and the way that churches proclaim, we believe, we're Spirit-filled, glory, hallelujah to the Lamb. Somebody come in and start ministering like this, and they might not get past the first night. Because who are you to stand up there and say such a thing, such as I have, give I unto thee. I don't think Peter had a problem with it. He did it. And if you look in this, Peter makes this declaration to this man. In other words, Peter was confident, and it wasn't just Peter, but it was John also. And as you go through the book of Acts, you'll see the same thing true for others as well. They were confident of what they had because they knew what they had. Such as I have. Such as I, Peter, am the possessor of. Such as I, right now, standing before you, this moment in time, Mr. Lame Man from Mama's womb, such as I, Peter, have in my possession. I am the possessor of this. This is mine. Now listen to this. I don't have to go to God and ask Him to give it to me. I've already got it. Amen. Such as I have and am able at this point in time to use and administer and pass out like candy at the market for kids. Such as I have now, I choose by my will to give to you. Do you get the impact of what he's saying here? What did he not do? He didn't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you please stretch down from heaven and touch this man? I'm not even talking about if it be thy will stuff. Leave that on the shelf. I'm talking about he did not pray and ask Jesus to do this. He did not ask the Father to do this. He did not ask the Holy Spirit to do it. He said, such as I have. I have this. My name is Peter. If you cut me, I will bleed. Yes, I did walk on water, but also sank a little. But such as I have, it's mine. And I don't have to go someplace to try and get it. It's mine now. And I can choose by my will to give it to you. You know, right now there are some of you thinking, I've never thought of it that way. But this is Book of Acts. And this is how they operated. They didn't call on Jesus and ask Him to do this. Peter spoke and gave a commandment. He spoke to this man. He said, what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Come on, I'll help you up. I don't think Peter had any doubt that this would happen, do you? Peter knew what he had. He gave command based on what he knew that he could do, and what he knew he could do was based on what he knew he had. Therefore, because he knew he had something such as I have, I now can speak out of what I have, and I can give unto you something that's going to put an end to this problem in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. When's the last time in all the churches you've been in and all the preachers you've ever heard, how many have you ever heard minister like this? There's a resistance to that. And here's the thing. Unless a church, a congregation, remember how the Bible tells us that Jesus couldn't do a whole lot of stuff in his own hometown, a whole lot of mighty works because of the unbelief of the people? A minister can start ministering and speaking like this, but if the congregation immediately starts putting up spiritual walls and the people that are being prayed for, that can present a strong and powerful hindrance to what can be done. And so what we have then are people in the body of Christ, even now, the full gospel folks, who don't understand this concept, even though they say they do. Such as I have, give I unto you. Now look at this. Peter makes a statement and he says, such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I can remember reading this. And I stopped here and I thought, okay, such as I have, give I thee. What did you have? It had to be a little bit more than the ham and cheese sandwich. And obviously it wasn't a whole lot of money because you just said so. What did you have, Peter? All right, he tells you. Look down in verse 12. All the people came and they're looking at Peter and John. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? He's telling you what he's got right here. I have power and I have holiness. Think about this. He wasn't ashamed to say, I have power and I have holiness. The Bible says when you get born again, the new man on the inside is created out of righteousness and true holiness. You are holy. You have holiness. It's God's holiness. He says, what? You guys think that we did this by our own power and our own holiness? It's not ours. It's God's. In other words, he tells this man, such as I have, give I thee. Well, what do you have, Peter? I have God's power and I have God's holiness. That's what I have. According to the power of God and the power of holiness, God's holiness, that I have. I have it. It's mine. And because I have God's power and because I have God's holiness, I now am in a position to release unto you whatever that power and holiness can produce in your life, which is healing. I have healing. Me, Peter, I have this. Now, I want you to think of the contrast. How many times have you heard people almost try to discourage folks away from healing? By saying things like, oh, now, I can't do anything. You know, I'm just me now. And I can't heal anybody. Peter didn't seem to have a problem with that line of thought. He said, such as I have. I have power. I have healing power. I have it. Well, where did he get such a crazy idea? I mean, that almost sounds blasphemous to hear some people preach. Where did he get such a nutso idea? You think it might have been from Jesus when Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and didn't the Holy Ghost come upon him? In other words, he just believed Jesus. If Jesus said, I shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon me, and the Holy Ghost has come upon me, then I can stand up and say, well, hey, I have power. But this is a mind blower in so many churches that profess Spirit-filled. We're Holy Ghost churches. We're New Testament churches and all that. But I'm seeing a pattern of ministry here in the book of Acts that I don't usually see too often in many churches and in many, many services. Peter knew that he had God's power And he knew that he had God's holiness. He knew that he had it. He knew it was his. It had been given unto him. It wasn't something he had to run and see. And this identifies a problem area in the body of Christ. There's a lot of people born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talkers and all this other, but they still don't see themselves as having power and holiness. If you begin to tap into the knowledge that you have power and holiness, you're going to start walking free from a lot of the junk that's in your life. Peter knew he had this. I have news for you. If you're here this morning or listening to this by tape, and you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you have power and you have holiness. You have it. You don't have to go to God and ask for it. You have it. It's yours now. And it's like people. I remember years ago when I used to work out a lot. And I'd hit the weights. Man, it was great. You know, and arms were big and chest and all this other, you know, muscle. And I get around people that didn't work out, kind of skinny, and they say, "Boy, you know, I wish I had muscles." You do. Mine just stick out more. You have muscles. You've got the same muscles I do. It's just what I've done with my muscles is different than what you've done with yours. People say, "I wish I had holiness." You do. "I wish I had power." No problem. Just have a good time with the Holy Ghost. Have your own day of Pentecost. And there's the power. It's not a matter of whether you do or you don't. You do. What are you doing with what you have, though? Here we have an example of Peter doing something with what he knew he had. It wasn't a question in his mind, "I wish Jesus would minister this to me so I could help this man." It was a matter of, "I've received power because the Holy Ghost has come upon me. And such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." And he walked and he ran and he leaped and he jumped and he shouted and he praised the Lord. That's because Peter knew what he had. In a book of Acts, church, you've got to come to the place of knowing what you have. Understanding what God has given to you. Well, look on in this. He also understood the reason behind it. The reason this power was given to him. The reason the holiness was given to him. If you look in verse 13, he says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus." That is the reason God gave Him the power. That is God's reason God gave Him the holiness. It was to glorify Jesus. It wasn't to glorify Peter, and it wasn't to glorify John, and it wasn't to glorify a church, and it wasn't to glorify anything else or to exalt anything or anyone else. It was to glorify Jesus. That's why that happened. And so the people come to him. And see, it wasn't that Peter was saying, "Oh, now, don't you all get to looking at me. Because after all, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace." After standing up and saying, "He's got God's power and God's holiness." He said, "Listen, I'll tell you why this power and this holiness is at work. I'll tell you why this happened. It's because God is glorifying His Son Jesus." "Well, you think I did this to draw attention to me?" No, folks. I didn't do this to draw attention to me. I did this because I know this is what Jesus would want. This glorifies Jesus to see this man healed, jumping, running, and praising God. It glorifies Jesus. So he knew that the reason he was to do this was to glorify Jesus. That's what he was about. A New Testament book of Acts church knows that their purpose for existing is to glorify Jesus. And when you start glorifying your programs, when you start glorifying other things, God's not going to honor it. God's not going to bless it. And His power is not going to be flowing through something like that. Peter knew it was to glorify Jesus. Look on in this. in verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He knew that the power and the holiness of God was directly connected to faith in Jesus and in the name of Jesus. He understood that. And he didn't have a problem with it. Why do you think the devil has come so hard against the faith and confession message? Do you understand? In these 16 verses of Acts chapter 3, we are seeing the faith and confession message in operation. Such as, I have, I give to you. And part of what I have is faith in Jesus that when I do this, it's going to happen. And so therefore I say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's because if you can push people into a corner away from the faith and confession message, not the abuses of it, but the truth of it. If you can do that, you'll keep them away from being a Book of Acts church. From being what God has described in the New Testament. Now, in this process, I want you to see what continues here in this. The religious leaders got really upset about this. You would think they would have been a little happy, because now there's one less person begging for money at the temple. You'd think they'd have been a little bit happy about this, because somebody they knew was healed. But no, they were caught up in their religion. They got mad. How can you do this? How can we do what? You know, obey God. How can you do this? So it says they locked them up. We're not reading the rest of chapter 3. It says they locked them up. And then they brought them out of prison, out of jail. And in verse 7, well, look, in verse 1 it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So we got a whole bunch of people here. Then in verse 7 it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or what name have you done this? Excuse me, I thought he just explained it. You're telling me none of you were there? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Interesting. He does not say brethren, even though they were Jews. He does not say followers of God, servants of God. No. He says rulers of the people. This is a dig, in case maybe you're not catching on here. He says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, way to go, Peter. That's not the way to make friends and influence people. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they didn't have college, lofty college degrees and so forth. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Get a clue, guys. What's an earmark of a Book of Acts church? Of the people in a church like that? Verse 13. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's not a matter of you being born again. It's not just a matter of you being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of you having been with Jesus. It's a matter of you spending time in His presence. It's a matter of you having intimacy with Him. It's not just a matter of you going Monday through Saturday and saying, well, I'm trusting God, and ignoring the one that you're trusting, and then showing up on Sunday and putting on a religious front to try and impress everybody, to make everyone think you're a mighty man or a mighty woman of faith. Hey, do you understand? They took note. They saw that these guys were unlearned, that they were ignorant according to the educational standards of that day. But they could not deny the fact that God's power had flown through them. They couldn't deny the fact of the authority and the power behind the words that they were speaking. In other words, they saw that there was something about these men that was different from themselves. And they took note. They had been with Jesus. It was showing. So let me ask you, what is showing? You can play all the religious games that you want to. But I'll just say this. When God starts to show things, you can't hide. People that get around me, all I have to do, usually it takes less than 10 minutes, and I can tell. I know what you've been doing through the week in and week out. I know. And I know if you've been with Jesus. It comes out in your speech.
I don't cuss.
I know you don't. That's not what I'm talking about. It shows. It shows. If you're going to be a Book of Acts church, you've got to be in the presence of Jesus. There's no shortcut. You have to spend time with Him. There's no other way around it. Do you understand what happens in here? This is not the sum total of your walk with God. This is just when we come together as God has directed. A Book of Acts church, Book of Acts people, they spend time with Jesus. And it will show. It will show. You can't hide it. I mean, Peter, he wasn't out there trying to put on a performance for people. But he had been with Jesus, he knew what he had, and he knew what he could do, and so he did it. When you pray for people, do you ever back off from who you are during that prayer? Well, Father, you know, we pray for your will to be done in Sister Susie's life. Your will, Father, whatever it is, ain't got a clue. You've got the mind of Christ. Tap into it. Get a clue. We don't have any excuses, folks. But now listen to this. We've allowed our religion to train us as to what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to say, as opposed to getting in the presence of Jesus and letting His power and His holiness, His anointing, His love, and everything about Him, His presence, just begin to flow through us. See, when you begin to walk with Jesus, you're not going to really be too concerned about what other people think. Especially in the body of Christ. more particularly in the body of Christ. They weren't concerned about what the religious people thought when they did this. They just knew this is the thing to do. And the closer you get to walking with Jesus, it's not that you get to the point to where you're just some rude, arrogant snob. You know, you just have nothing to do with people. But you're not going to let people control what God's told you to do. See? They weren't doing this. They did what they knew they were supposed to do. What Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Well, this apparently fits right in. We've got a lame guy. And we did see Jesus heal lame people. And we do know that we have power. And we do know that we have His holiness. So I guess what I have, I'll give. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so they're questioned here in this. And they give this answer. And the leaders, they couldn't deny it. And so in verse 23, jump over there. Verse 23 of chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So what's in this, Pastor? A book of Acts church. If problems come up, the people don't sit down and try and figure it out. Regardless of what's going on around them, they know that the answer, verse 24, they begin to worship God. Thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They begin to worship Him, and then they say, here's what we'd like for you to do, Father. We want you to fill us with your boldness so that we stand up and proclaim your word with this boldness. And Father, we want to see your power demonstrated, the signs and the wonders. They didn't have a problem assuming there would be signs and wonders and miracles take place. In far too many full gospel churches today, we only hope that something happens. But not these people. They had a confidence in who they were and what they had in Jesus Christ. And it was no problem at all for them to just assume these things are going to happen. And all too often when churches come together that claim to be Spirit-filled churches, there is no assumption, no anticipation that God's power is going to show up. They hope it will show up. And in some cases, if it doesn't show up, they try to manufacture something to say that it showed up, because if it doesn't show up, then they feel like, well, you know, there must be something wrong. So long about the time of the invitation, if nothing's happened by then, somebody will start singing a hoop and hollering song and get everybody to running up and down the aisles and all this other. I mean, you got to have something so you can go and talk about it, right? They're substituting their program for His presence. But these folks here, it wasn't a matter of, well, I wonder, you think
God's going to show up tonight?
There's no problem. They had an assumption because they knew what they had. They knew what they were. They knew what God had given to them. They knew God's promises to them. And they knew what was going to happen. They knew it would happen. So all they did was get together and worship God and say, now listen, we are your servants. And we want this boldness to rise up on the inside of us, to stand up and preach your word and say what you once said. Regardless of what those people think, regardless of what the religious system has to say, this is what we want to do, Father. We want to do it to glorify Jesus. Let the signs and wonders flow. Let it happen. Let it happen. This is a book of Acts church. And look what happens next. in verse 12. Well, in fact, look at verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30. This is what they said. We want the boldness to speak your word, and by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now look at chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. In other words, in chapter 4, verse 29, 30, and 31, they begin to make this prayer. They've worshiped the Lord and they make this prayer and they say, you know, we want this boldness to preach your word and to speak your word. Stretch forth your hand, Father, that signs and wonders and healings and miracles would take place in the name of Jesus. And then in chapter 5, verse 12, we see the manifestation of the very thing they prayed for. He said, yeah, but in chapter 5, verse 12, it says, by the hands of the apostles. And over there in chapter 4, they were praying that God would stretch forth His hand. That's exactly right. That's because they realized that their hands were the extended hands of God Himself. And they knew that when they stretched forth their hands, it was God stretching forth His hand through them. They knew this. And it wasn't just, I mean, in their minds, they may have been thinking, we want to bring all of our sick friends and family members and line the streets. Bring them in from all of the cities around. Line them up. Put them on couches. Whatever it takes. Just let them lay out there. Can you imagine what this must have looked like in Jerusalem? Sick people. Demon-possessed people. Crippled people. People that were dying from diseases. All laid out on the streets. And what were they hoping for? For Peter just to walk by so that his shadow might fall upon them. What's the big thing about the shadow? It wasn't the shadow. It was the glory of God coming out of him. That's what it was. It wasn't a matter of just let him come in between me and the sunlight. It was a matter of God, Christ in Peter, the hope of glory. That glory of the Christ in Peter was coming out of Peter. And they knew that if they could only just get there on the street and let the guy walk by, he doesn't even have to speak. He doesn't even have to lay his hands. There's so much glory coming out of him that if you just get his shadow to touch you, you get healed. And the Bible says every single one of them, all of them, they were healed. That's revival. That is a Book of Acts church. That is a New Testament church. This is what we see in God's Word. That's because they knew what they had. They understood. They had the power of God in them. They had His holiness. It wasn't a question of, we've got to seek God. We've got to find out if God will bless us with His presence once again. What a no-brainer. He sent His only Son. And now you think He doesn't want to be with you? It's this kind of belief system that we see in here, in the book of Acts, that is sorely lacking in the body of Christ today. The bottom line is, we really don't believe we have the power. We have the holiness. We have the authority. It's mine now. Because we've been trained. That's pride. We've been trained. That's ego. We've been trained, that's out of order with God. We've been trained, that's exalting yourself above Jesus. When Peter himself stood up and said, such as I have, such as I have, such as I have. And you go through and you read in the book of Acts of other things that happened. And I see nothing in there that would contradict that statement that Peter made, such as I have. Because we see that these things were happening. Remember, it's plural, by the hands of the apostles. And when you begin to read from Romans on, you begin to see that these things were happening in these churches. There are references to the healings. There are references to the miracles. These things happened. Because this was Book of Acts. And if we want a Book of Acts church, we've got to come to the point that we believe such as I have. Me. Now, I don't have to go to God and ask Him to pour out the power. If He's going to pour out the power, do you understand it's going to be poured out through you and me? It's not going to be some kind of glory rainbow that God's going to pull open the clouds and just, you know, release it from heaven. It comes out of us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of healing. Christ in you, the hope of power. Christ in you, everything. Such as you have. It's yours now. And see, when you get in the presence of Jesus, when you spend that time with Him, then what is in you, what you have, begins to come out. And the junk in your life that's been suppressing it, the belief system that's been telling you that you can't talk like this, the more time you spend in the presence of Him, the more boldness that they talked about here you're going to have. And you're going to understand, such as I have. It's mine. He gave it to me. If He didn't want me to have it, He shouldn't have given me the Holy Spirit. But He gave it to me. And to you. Just imagine what it would be like to have a whole church full of people who believed like this. I mean, this congregation, the size that it is. What if all of us truly believed like this? What would happen? What kind of lives would you impact? Don't think about the numerical growth. Think about the lame legs that would receive strength because such as you have, you're giving unto them. What about the blind eyes? What about the people with AIDS? What about the people that have demons? What about all of it? How many of their lives would be changed because such as you have, you're giving unto them? Are you beginning to grasp what it takes to have a Book of Acts church? And here's the thing. We don't have to beg and plead for God to give it to us. It's simply a matter of doing what we see in there because it's the potential, all of that. It's already been given. It's already here now. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's fast and pray so that we have a Book of Acts church. Well, fasting and prayer would go along with having a Book of Acts church. But you don't have to fast and pray hoping God will give you something. It's a matter of developing what you already have. Such as you have. Remember, when Peter ministered here in Acts chapter 3, I don't know how much time passed from the day of Pentecost to Acts chapter 3 verse 1. But I can tell you this, there are people in this congregation right now, you've been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit longer than Peter had at this time. And He did this because He knew what He had. I say it's time for the world to take note that we have been with Jesus. Amen. And that we are the hand of God extended. Amen. Well, why don't you Book of Acts people stand up?